You're listening to a message from The Gathering. Check us out on Facebook or our website at peopleintheircity.com. Now, prepare your heart for God to speak something powerful into your life.
Turn in your Bibles to Galatians chapter 5. That's right after 1 and 2 Corinthians, Galatians chapter 5. And then you might put a little placeholder there or your thumb and also turn over to Matthew chapter 7. All right, we are continuing our series called Who We Are. And I said it last week, I'll say it again. This message today is for you. This message is for you. We're talking about who we are to be and who we are to become like if we say that we are sons and daughters of God. If we say we're saved, and do you remember who it is we're supposed to become more and more like, church? Come on, Jesus, yes, God, amen, right? And if you've been saved, then that really shouldn't come as a surprise to you. We are to be like the Father himself. So God wants us to be just like Jesus. Jesus was just like the Father. So ultimately, we're to become like the Father himself. We're to live like him, to act like him, to talk like him, walk like him, smell like him, and even treat other people the way he treats other people. So last week, I shared that if we've been saved by Jesus, then we're all racing towards a point in time where we will stand before God made fully complete in him. And so God's plan then is when you and I get saved right here and now, his plan is for you and I to start becoming that person we'll one day fully become in him. We're to start doing that right now. We're to start becoming that person right now. It's not just sit around and wait on heaven time. No, from here on out, your life should continuously look more and more like that person you'll one day fully become in Jesus. And so here's the question we're asking, is that happening? Is that happening in your life? Are you looking more and more like Jesus all the time? Is that who you are? And so Galatians 5 tells us that when we get saved, the Holy Spirit gives us brand new desires to where we actually want to start living like and looking like God and treating other people the way he does. In fact, these new desires he gives us, they even come loaded with the power to help us start choosing to do those things. We can actually start living that way. We actually receive these new desires and the power from God through relationship with him to start saying no to sin and start saying yes to God. Do you have those new desires? Do they exist somewhere in your heart? If so, then last week we saw the kind of life we are to desire if we have been saved. In fact, we saw what God really looks like. Let's take another look at that today. What we're about to read is a description of who God is, what he's like, and therefore it's a description of who we are to become as well. Amen? Check it out. If you got your Bibles, Galatians 5, we're going to look at verses 22 and 23. Paul writes, he says, "But the Holy Spirit produces this kind of fruit in our lives." Now, come on, here it is, and I want you to say them with me. Let's say them together. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. And then check this out. You have to see this. He says, there is no law against these things. Here's what he's saying. You can't get into trouble with God when this is your life. Church, you're not going to Jesus jail if you live this way. I'm pretty sure you're not going to go to regular jail if you live this way. This fruit keeps you on the up and up. It's funny because many of you know we actually have a police officer that attends our church. His name's Joe Owen, and he calls The Gathering home. He's actually a highway patrolman. And so sometimes he has to work on Sunday mornings, but occasionally he'll come in here while we're having worship or while I'm preaching, and he'll actually stand in the back in his full uniform. I like to call him the church sheriff, and I'm the deputy. Who am I kidding, though? I'm really the sheriff, aren't I? But so sometimes he comes in here and he stands in his uniform in the back. And I've actually heard that in the past there have been some people that have gotten a little nervous. Like maybe he's here because somebody has done something or they're in trouble. And maybe he's even here to like arrest somebody. So here's my encouragement, okay? Can I tell you something? If you will continue to let these fruits dominate your life, you don't have to worry that Officer Joe is going to walk you out of here in handcuffs, okay? Maybe I shouldn't have told you that, though. Maybe it'd be better if we did think he was here to arrest people, right? Some healthy fear is often a good motivator for changing our lives sometimes. All right, but that does lead me to the title of today's message. Here it is. I go to church, but am I saved? I go to church, but am I saved? Don't tune this out. This is an important message for you. Okay, some of us might start to think, well, yeah, I go to church and I am saved, so this must be for all the other people in the room that are here today that aren't yet saved. No, this message is for everybody. In fact, this is going to be a strong message today, okay? So I do hope my jokes are on point so that we can laugh and relax and still smile from time to time. We're off to a pretty good start with that deputy bit right there, right? Okay, but listen, church is so important for us to understand this. Jesus himself and his disciples who followed him, those men who wrote the New Testament for us together, in addition to living the invitational life for everyone around them, they were also then constantly going after and warning and correcting and calling up and therefore encouraging church people to be saved and then also live lives that actually express the evidence of that fact. Think about this. Jesus specifically went to the Jewish people. And they were a people that would have said, we are already a part of the family of God. And yet Jesus told them, you need to be saved. And Jesus goes on from there and he gives warnings to the church on a regular basis, saying that if our lives don't show evidence of true salvation, if our lives don't express that we have become God's kids through relationship with Jesus, then we shouldn't delude ourselves and wrongly believe that we have been saved. Okay, so what is this evidence that Jesus is looking for? I'm telling you, here it is one more time. He's looking for the Holy Spirit's fruit in our lives. That's the evidence that we really have a relationship with him. We call them fruit because they should grow in us if we've been saved. Our lives should produce these things if we're becoming like Jesus. If you've been saved by Jesus, if you've trusted in, committed to, and relied upon him with your life, then these things should become more and more evident in your life all the time as you continue to do life with him daily. Once again, here they are: love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Let me say it this way. Last week, I said that as God's kids, these things, these fruits, they should define our lives. Let's take it a step further today. As God's kids, these things should be the ultimate expression of that reality. They should express who we are. And here's how this expression should play out in our daily lives, okay? God and other people around you, people that you are in relationship with, they should all be able to look at your life and say things like this. They should be able to say, oh yeah, he's really loving. Oh, she is so kind. Your boss should be able to look at you and say, that person, oh man, they're a good employee. Think about this. Jesus and your church family should be able to say, man, they are so faithful to God and to his people. Your spouse should be able to say, man, my spouse is so faithful to me. Your kids should be able to say, Dad and Mom, oh, they're so gentle and patient with us. Your web browser history should be able to say that you have self-control. Okay, listen, are you seeing this? Here's what I want you to notice this morning. All of these things, these fruits, they're relational. They're how God lives. These fruits express how God lives and how he relates to other people. So if you're God's kid, it's then how you are to live and it's how you're to relate to other people, even when you're all alone. Because if you're all alone and you're in relationship with Jesus, then that means you're not really alone. You're just alone with him. And so this is how you get to relate to him as well. Church, it's relational. And why wouldn't it be? Why wouldn't these fruits be relational? It is so important for us to understand this. Your salvation, the very substance of it, is based on your relationship status with Jesus. Being saved is not a mechanical thing. It is not a religious thing. It's not a pray this prayer one time. It's not a just show up in church at the right time at these services or just say these words or just go through these motions. No, it's based on whether or not you have a loving relationship with the real Jesus who is the Lord. And since he's the Lord, you then follow his desires. In other words, you submit to him and the desires that he puts in your life. And if you do that, it should be then evident to God and everyone around you because your life begins to produce these kinds of fruit as well. So if you've been saved by him, then I want you to hear this. Then you know Jesus and Jesus knows you. He loves you dearly and you love him back in return. You're so grateful that he loves you, that he lived the sinless life and died to pay for your sins so that you can become the person he always intended you to be through the best relationship of all time, relationship with the Father, and so that you don't have to die eternally and live forever separated from his love and presence. I'm just going to be really blunt this morning so that you don't have to go to hell. And so church, yes, listen, do you realize that in addition to the sheer punishment and the agony, here's the deepest agony of all that hell brings with it. The worst part of hell is having to then live forever outside of this relationship that you were meant to live in. This relationship with the Father. You'll be forever separated from the ability to have a relationship with him and therefore actually become the person you were intended to become through that relationship. And I can only imagine that as you continuously realize I can never have that for all of eternity, it would be unbearable. And so Jesus doesn't want that for anyone. So he made a way. And so if you trust in and commit to and rely upon him, then by his grace, you get saved. And his very life, his nature, his Holy Spirit comes and lives inside of your life. You're that close. It's like you get a brand new roommate that lives inside of you and you come alive and then you want to, you desire to live like him and be like him and act just like him. You want to make him happy. You want to obey him. You want to spend time together with him daily. You allow him, follow this, you allow him to teach you and mentor you and coach you and challenge you and change you and command you and correct you and therefore encourage you by calling you up so that your life will produce the same fruit that his life produces. And in addition to that, you're also then very open to the ways in which he will call you up and challenge you and correct you and therefore encourage you. Listen to me. You're open to letting Jesus be relational with you by speaking to you through the other people around you that also love Jesus. You're open to his family and his kids challenging you. Let me say it this way. You're open to the church giving you warnings. Now, some of us just got a little offended by that. We got a little offended or a little uncomfortable with the idea of God's kids that were in relationship with us, challenging us, calling us up, or even correcting us from time to time. Why? Just be honest. Why does that bother you? You see, many of us are okay with the idea of relationship with Jesus, Jesus living in us, but we're not really okay with the idea of God using the other people that Jesus lives in to help us grow. Yeah, I mean, we love it if they want to come and give us an encouraging prophetic word. Like, we love it. We love when God says, you're awesome. Oh, yes. You could tell me that all day long. God loves you. Oh, yes. You could tell me that all day long, but wait. Did you just try to correct me? Did you just tell me that I'm wrong? Don't you judge me. Who do you think you are? Who gives you the right? Are you questioning my salvation with the title of this message today, Pastor Brandon? Church, why is it offensive to us when other people question how things are really going in our relationship with Jesus? And then follow me here. Think about this. What is it specifically that might cause other people, God's kids, to question how things are going in our relationship with Jesus? You want to know what it is? Here, you can take my life, for example. When my pastors and my friends come to me and they correct me, and they do, what is it that they're seeing in my life that's causing them to want to come give me correction? You know what it is? They're seeing a lack of the fruit of the Spirit. They're seeing a lack of evidence of the fruit of the Spirit in my life. They're saying, Brandon, you say you're saved. You say you love Jesus. You say he's your Lord. But then why are you doing this over here? Why are you acting like this? Don't you see where this is going to lead if you keep doing this? This doesn't line up with God's fruit, Brandon. Brandon, there's no goodness in the way you reacted to that. Brandon, God's word said you shouldn't do this. You're being unfaithful to him in this area. You're making unwise choices. And so maybe it's that a particular fruit is missing from a particular area of my life and I get called on it. Or maybe, just maybe, they've been watching for a while now and there's a whole bunch of fruit that's MIA. Can I tell you something? I used to get offended by that. But by the grace of God, about 10 years ago, I started intentionally asking people who are more spiritually mature than I am, I'll say it this way, big spiritual brothers and sisters, I started asking them to come speak into my life. People like my pastors, my small group leaders, or like around here, even your pastors or your neighborhood gathering leaders, I started asking them, would you please come and speak into my life? Would you come and tell me where the fruit is missing, church? I don't make them wait until a long season has gone by and now they're nervous to talk to me about it. No, I've invited them to help me see where the fruit is missing here and now. You want to know why? Because I really can stand before you here today and say, I want my life to be like Jesus's. I love him. I want to be like him. And so if that's true, then there should be evidence of that in my life for others to see. And I'll speak for myself, I need help. I'll speak for you too, you do too. So listen, if you call the gathering home, you've heard me say things like this before, especially just over the past 4 years. In fact, I said one of these just recently. Just recently I said, if you say you follow Jesus, but you're not living the invitational life, or you're not being a fisher of men. If you say you follow Jesus, but you never do those things, then at some point we have to ask, are you really following Jesus? Recently you've heard even this, if you say God's first in your life, but you refuse to bring the tithe, you refuse to bring the first back to God, then at some point we have to ask, is God really first in your life? Here's another one, okay? If there's a continuous lack of the evidence of the fruit of the Spirit in your life, if other people around you keep watching and they can't see a desire in your life to be like Jesus, and you're refusing his ways and you're going your own, if you're not letting him be Lord, then at some point we have to ask, have you really been saved? Do you really have a relationship with Jesus? Again, that's what it all comes down to, relationship with him. And let me just be clear, it's not an on-again, off-again relationship. It's not a take the parts that I like and leave the parts that I don't relationship. Let me say it this way. It's a total commitment from here on out. Jesus gets to be Lord of your life, and other people get to see that by the fruit that's produced. And then that produce, it just keeps growing. Can other people see the produce increasing in your life? Is there fruit just beginning to pile up in your life? Or if things started to get stagnant? Is the fruit increasing or is it decreasing? And maybe the fruit that you do have, are they starting to shrivel? Church, if that's what other people around you see, then please hear me. The only reason they would want to come and talk to you about it is because they love you and they desire God's best for you. And the only reason they desire that is because they love Jesus and Jesus has put that desire in their lives for you. That's the only reason. So listen, we must resist the temptation to get defensive and offended when the people around us who love Jesus try to help us get saved and try to help us love Jesus more. I had a guy one time get so mad at me. And look, I'm not saying he wasn't saved. He was, he is. But we were following Jesus together. We were doing church together. And I just continued to notice over time that there was some fruit, major fruit that was missing. And so listen, I hope you know me. I do things with grace. Man, I do things lovingly. I really try my best. I'm not perfect, but I try my best. And so I didn't go to him and say, I don't think you're saved. Right? I didn't say that. No, what I said to him, I go, man, friend, I keep seeing you do this. And this is the way you keep treating people. And with grace, it just, this doesn't line up with Jesus. And so I essentially said, I'm worried that there's some fruit missing in your life. Here's what he yelled back at me. You can't question my faith. You can't question the way I follow Jesus. Why not? Church, I've had people question my faith along the way. I've had people come and ask, Brandon, how's it really going in your relationship with Jesus? I've been called out. I've been corrected. I want you to hear me say this morning. Thank God. Thank God. And yes, sadly, there were some times when I got defensive. But guess what? Defensiveness is almost always evidence that they're actually right. That there's validity to the question that they're asking. And get this, when we get defensive, it also typically means we don't want to go there because we really don't want to have to change, which then only causes the people who are concerned to be even more concerned about whether you really desire the things of Jesus or not. I'm telling you, family, this is how I feel. Thank you, Jesus, that you love me enough to risk offending me and you will speak the truth into my life. Thank you, Jesus, that you will send people who love you and me who will be bold enough to come and tell me the truth when they see missing fruit, when they see no evidence that I'm following Jesus. Thank you, Lord, so that I can have my eyes open to what I'm not seeing, so I can say no to my sinful desires and actually say yes to becoming more like Jesus. Does anybody in here have a favorite Bible verse? Yeah, we got a few. Anybody, like, you know how people have favorite Bible verses? And that's perfectly awesome. It is. But you know, like some people, like, they have a favorite Bible verse and they're like, this is my life verse. Like, this is for me. You know what I'm talking about? And that's great. I'm not knocking that, okay? I'm not. But like, you know, my cup runneth over. That is mine. He leadeth me in paths of righteousness. Jesus gave that just to me. You know what I'm saying? Anybody have a favorite verse? Some of you don't want to confess now because I said it that way. I'm sorry. Okay. I'm about to read you no one's favorite verse ever. You guys want to hear this? It's the best too. I kind of can't stop smiling every time I've been reading it this week, all right? Psalm 141, verse 5. This is David. This is King David writing, and he says this. He says, let the godly strike me. It will be a kindness. Are you guys seeing this? If they correct me, it is soothing medicine. Don't let me refuse it. We're having some church now, aren't we? Come on. How many of you guys believe the Bible is true? You still believe, you believe that with all your heart, right? Every word in the Bible is true. We can find out. We can line up after service and have Pastor Greg slap us all in the face. That's the metaphor. Okay, but here's what Here's what David is really saying. He's saying it stings when God's people tell us that something's not right in our lives. He says it stings. It can hurt a little bit when we discover I'm wrong. But he's saying we need to welcome it. He's saying it's the best thing there is for helping us become more like Jesus. And do you realize when we get offended, here's what we're really getting offended by: discipleship. Which, if I'm not mistaken, is the method Jesus implemented for helping us become more like him. It's people that love Jesus helping other people love Jesus and become everything he wants them to be. Watch this. This is Matthew 28, 19 through 20. Jesus speaking. You guys know this one, okay? Therefore, go and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father. I can't stop laughing about what we just read, okay? Baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. Watch this. Teach. You guys see that? Teach. Can there be any teaching without any correction? It's pretty difficult, isn't it? Teach these new disciples to obey all the commands I have given you. Here's another one, Hebrews 3:13. This is another one that will never make the list of favorite verses, okay? You must warn each other every day while it is still today, so that none of you will be deceived by sin and hardened against God. And church, we need to realize this was written to the church. So listen to me, church. A Jesus follower, a son or a daughter of God, someone who's been saved, should always be approachable, coachable, teachable, mentorable, humble, correctable, and even warnable. I looked that up. That's a real word. And if you're not those things, why not? Why not? Can I, as your pastor, can I come to you if I see some missing fruit? And can we talk about it without me having to worry that you're going to get offended? Can your neighborhood gathering leader, if they see something funny in your life, can they come to you and talk to you about that without having to worry that you're going to get defensive? Can we all not have to worry that we're not going to be friends after that conversation? I mentioned that I ask people to speak into my life on a regular basis. One of those people is Pastor Greg. This past January, we got together for coffee, and we get together weekly to talk about these kinds of things. But I asked him back in January, as I regularly do, I said, hey, what do you see in my life that's missing? What's not lining up with Jesus? If there's something you want to call me out on, what needs to be called out? And I'm just going to be real with you this morning. I was pretty positive that I was doing everything right. I was pretty certain he was about to give me all gold stars. Turns out I was wrong. Okay, so most of you know, I like to joke around, right? I like to joke around. I like to make people laugh. Let's be honest, I'm good at it. I'm hilarious. He's going to talk to me about pride next. Okay, so listen, there. I'm joking. There was a particular joke, though, that I kept telling and kept saying kind of on a regular basis. It's not the worst thing in the world. It had like a tiny bit of shock value. I'm not going to repeat it today. I'm actually kind of embarrassed to even talk about it. I'm not going to repeat it because there's some young people in here. But I would say this joke in mixed company from time to time. Some of you guys probably even heard me say it. Just for a little bit of shock value and to make people laugh. And honestly, this is what was going through my mind. It just makes me sound more relatable as a pastor. I'm embarrassed to even say that now. So when I got together with Greg, I said, what's missing, man? What am I doing that needs to change? And without any hesitation, he said, you know that one joke you keep telling? And before he even said another word, I knew. And here's what he said: you need to stop it. And so listen, I promise I didn't try to make excuses. I just explained to him the thought process. I go, man, you're right. Here's why I've been doing it. I feel like it makes me sound funny, and maybe like as a pastor, I'm a little more relatable. He said, it doesn't make you sound more relatable. It makes you sound immature. Okay, here, I can laugh about it now. It stung a little bit at the time, right? It stung a little bit to hear, Brandon, you're wrong. I could have gotten offended. I could have gotten defensive. Here's what I did. Honestly, you can ask him. I thanked him. I said, thank you. And I thank God for bringing him into my life. And then I looked at Greg and I said, yes, sir. And I have not said that joke, and none of you have heard me make that joke ever since. Because my eyes were open to something I wasn't seeing. I know the truth now. And I really do want to become more and more like Jesus. I don't want the produce interrupted in my life. Church, God made us in his image to begin with, for us to be like him. We've all sinned though, and we've messed up that image, but Jesus has made a way. God has made a way through Jesus for us all to begin to look like him again. However, check this out. Mark Batterson, one of my favorite pastors and authors, he says this. He says, God made us in his image in the beginning, but ever since we've sinned, we've been trying to remake him into our image. We've been trying to make him look and act and walk and talk just like us and treat other people the way we treat people. Here's why: so that we don't ever need to be saved by him. So that we don't ever need to be surprised by him or challenged by him or called up by him or corrected or commanded by him to do anything. Here's why: so that we don't have to let him be our Lord. Listen, again, one more time. Here's the title today. I go to church, but am I saved? Now, church family, I do know that most of us in here are saved. I know that. I believe that. I've had the great privilege of getting to lead some of you guys to know Jesus, but we can't ignore the blatant warnings that Jesus gives to his church. We can't ignore how serious we are to take our relationship with Jesus, and we can't ignore what a big deal it is that our lives continuously express the evidence of our relationship with him. I said this last week, we should be very uncomfortable with a lack of the fruit of the Spirit in our lives. These fruits are not optional for God's kids. And so if the church can't warn the church, then who can? All the church people are in trouble if we can't. Because you see, there are many people who just want fire insurance. So they go to church. And they even do churchy things, but Jesus isn't the Lord of their lives. There is no produce. Luke 6:46, this is Jesus speaking. He says, so why do you keep calling me Lord, Lord, when you don't do what I say? Why do you keep calling me Lord and you keep doing what you want to do? That's what he's saying. Because I'm not your Lord. He's saying, you're still in control. There's no produce. Here's Jesus again. If you got your Bibles open to Matthew 7, we're going to look at verse 21. He says, not everyone who calls out to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven. And that's incredible right there. Not everyone who calls Jesus Lord is going to heaven. Is here. That's what he's saying. He says, only those who actually, watch this, do the will of my Father in heaven will enter. And do you know what God's will is? You know what God's will for your life is? For you to be saved. For you to be in a relationship with Jesus. Verse 22, he goes on judgment day. That's that day I'm telling you we're all racing towards. He says on judgment day, many, please notice that, many will say to me, Lord, Lord. Again, they call him Lord, but watch what they say. Okay, they say, we prophesied in your name. We cast out demons in your name and performed many miracles in your name. But Jesus says, I will reply, I never knew you. In other words, we never had a relationship. We didn't have one, and we know that because of watch what he says next. He says, get away from me, you who break God's laws. We'll talk about that in just a moment, but this is amazing. He didn't say there are going to be just a few people that say this to him. He said there are going to be many people that say this to him. Think about this too. There are going to be many who say, but God, we prophesied in your name. We cast out demons in your name. We performed many miracles in your name. I just want you to think about this. What kind of people do those things? Who are the people that are typically doing these kinds of things, casting out demons, prophesying, performing miracles. Church people. This stuff happens in church, doesn't it? And some of this is some pretty radical church. These are church people. So according to Jesus, many people who call Jesus Lord and are even actively involved in ministry, they're not going to heaven. And so think about this. If many people who are actively involved in ministry aren't saved, how many people aren't who just show up at church every once in a while? And I want you to notice what he said. He said, "Get away from me. I never knew you." He's not saying, "I knew you at one time, but I don't anymore." He's saying, "No, I never knew you. We never met. We never had a relationship." And here's how we know they never met, because he says, "I never knew you. Get away from me, you who break God's laws." Church, can I remind you of what we read in Galatians chapter 5? There is no law against the fruit of the Spirit. There is no law against those things. You're not breaking any laws when you live the life that the Holy Spirit does produce in the life of every person that's been saved. These fruits aren't optional for God's kids. Now, listen to me. I want you to hear this. I'm not talking about perfection. Can you hear me? I'm not talking about perfection. Perfection isn't good evidence of the fruit of the Spirit. How we handle our imperfections is better evidence. How we handle our imperfections is better evidence. Do we truly desire to become more like Jesus, and therefore are we repenting when we discover that there's a lack of the fruit of the Spirit in any area of our lives? In other words, is Jesus Lord? So you say, well, how can I know? How can I know if I've really been saved then? It's real simple. Just answer this question. Who's in charge of your life? Who is making the decisions for your life? Who's calling the shots? And the fruit or lack thereof it will give that answer away. Who tells you how you get to live? Even if other people around you and Jesus tells you you should live differently, let me say it this way. Whose desires do you live by? Yours or the Lord's desires that he puts in you when you get saved? If you're still in charge, if you're following your own desires, then I want you to listen to me very carefully. You're going to hell. Somebody needs to be bold enough to tell you that. And I'm telling you, we're all racing towards a day where we will one day stand before God. And when that happens, you can't say to him, "But I never knew this. Nobody ever told you this." I'm telling you today. Here's what I'm telling you. In your life, either Jesus is Lord of all or he's not Lord at all. So I've got good news. I said this last week. I'm going to say it again today. It's easy to get saved. It's easy to get saved. God didn't make it hard. In fact, Jesus did the hardest part for us. He died and rose again. Here's all we have to do. We just got to die to ourselves. We got to die to ourselves. Let me say it this way. We have to want Jesus and his desires. Now, you can make that hard for yourself. You can choose to make that hard for yourself, but it doesn't have to be. God desires it for you, and he will give you the power to desire him, but you have to decide, do you want a real relationship with the Lord Jesus? Will you trust and commit to and rely upon him? Have you been saved? Are you God's kid? Is that who you are? Is Jesus your Lord? And look, so maybe you have made that decision, and in the past you have meant it. Jesus, you said, Jesus, I want you to be my Lord. And maybe you're here this morning and you've been going through a season of life where you've been starting to choose your own way again. Listen to me. I've had numerous times in my life since I've been saved where Satan and other influences have tried to get me to go back to that life that I once lived. Okay, and you could say it this way, where I started like making my own decisions for my life again, and I started going down that path. Okay, here's what's happened numerous times in my life. And actually, our friend Pastor Robert Morris, I've heard him say it best. He says, if you've been saved, this happens in your life from time to time where influences will start leading you to go back to your old life. You're gonna start trying to make the decisions on your own again. But it's like the Lord comes, and it's like he kind of grabs us by the collar, and he pulls us in close, and he says, hey, did you ask me to be your Lord or not? And hopefully that's when we all say, yes, sir, I did. And that's when God says, well, I'm going to be Lord then. If you've been saved, you've experienced that. And let me just say this. Sometimes God is the one. Sometimes God himself shows up and does a little bit of this. But sometimes God shows up through big spiritual brothers and sisters and does this. Again, it's not about perfection. It's about how we handle our imperfections and when we're told and therefore now know the truth. Will we respond and let Jesus be Lord? That's what saved people do. That's what God's kids do. That's who we are to be. So very practically, here's what I want all of us to do, okay? We talked about this last week. These are the steps that I want all of us to take in this series. Here's number one. If you're joining us today, man, I want you to get a hold of this, write this down. Listen to me. Examine your daily living through the fruit of the Spirit. You guys all have fancy cards at your seats today. Did you find some fancy cards when you came in? Man, look at those cards. They have the fruit of the Spirit, that those verses written on them, okay? You have one. I want you to take three or four with you. We've got plenty, okay? We didn't put them all on your seats because it would have made a giant mess, but they're in the lobby. They're on that, I think maybe on that deck. They're all over the place. I want you to grab three or four, okay? I want you to grab one. You tape it to your coffee machine in the morning, or you put it on that mirror in the bathroom when you're getting ready. You put it at your workstation at work. You set it on the nightstand for when you're going to bed. Here's what I want us to do. When we wake up in the morning, I want us to see this and I want us to ask ourselves, is this who I'm going to be today? And don't just ask yourself, don't just rely on yourself. That's when we pray in the morning. We say, God, this is who I want to be today. This is how I want to act. This is how I want to live. And so we say, God, help me. Come on, pray that prayer every morning. Help me to be like this. The decisions I make, the way I treat people, the way I interact with people, may it all line up with this, God, with your manner of living. Amen? And then at the end of the day, we come back, we examine our lives again before we go to bed. We see where we messed up. We see where we failed. And grace, there's grace for it all day long. But then we know how to pray, don't we? God, forgive me. I did this. God, forgive me. Please, I did this. But please pray. This will be one of the most powerful prayers you can ever ever have in your life if you will continuously pray. God, change me. God, I need to be more loving. God, I need more peace. I need more patience. God, I need grace. I need to stop looking at this stuff on my computer. I need more self-control. You start praying that prayer and you mean it. God will start changing you. And you even invite perhaps your neighbor gathering leaders, your pastors into your life, and you just say, this is where I'm struggling. Will you help me? Will you watch my life and help me so that I can actually live these things out? And then you even see, based on how you messed up that day, you even begin to realize this is probably the person I need to go apologize to for the way I behaved. Nobody's smiling. Come on. I'm telling you, if we do this, we'll grow. We'll become more like him. Here's one more. We've got to read God's word daily. Anybody start that this past week? Come on, yeah, come on. Said this last week, we've got to. If we're not doing this, we've got to. This is how we see what our dad is really like. Okay, we've got to be in his word daily. Paul says we're transformed by the renewing of our minds. God's word will change your mind and your heart. It will get in here and it will get in here and you'll start finding yourself living more and more like him. And so when you just read a chapter a day, start in Matthew, start working your way through the Bible, the New Testament, and just pray, God, how can I know you more through what I'm reading and how can I become more like you? If you are serious and you really talk to him about that, he will begin to answer you and he will begin to change you. And I'm telling you, as our lives get changed more and more, we together will continue to become the people and the church that God desires for us to be. Somebody say, It's going to be good. We want to see Newton reborn? It starts with us. It starts with us, and as we continue to take these steps, as we continue to let our lives look more and more like God's, as our lives begin to produce these fruits, people will notice, and they'll be blessed by the way we live. They'll be attracted to our lives and the godly life in us. We'll be living the invitational life. Come on, keep inviting. Amen? We'll be living the invitational life. People will realize, man, that church really does love this city and everyone in it. And they are on mission to see this town come alive in Jesus like never before. Because that's who we are. Amen? I want you to bow your heads and close your eyes. What's the Holy Spirit saying to you today? What's he saying to you right now? Do you need to be saved today? Do you need to make the decision and tell Jesus this morning, Jesus, I really do want you to be my Lord. Well, don't leave this room without making that decision. You can pray that right now. Jesus, I mean it. I want you to be my Lord. I want to stop calling the shots. Forgive me, Lord, for all the ways that I've gone. Thank you that you love me. Thank you that you lived the sinless life. Thank you that you died, that you rose again for me. I want the life that you want for me. I desire you, Jesus. Please give me new desires and give me the strength, Lord, the power to follow them, to live like you. Come on, Don't walk out of this room without letting Jesus be your Lord today. Maybe this morning's been one of those times where God comes and kind of gets close to us and says, I'm going to be Lord, and shakes us a little bit. Come on, is there an area that the Holy Spirit's talking to you about that you say, man, I need Jesus, I'm sorry. Would you tell him, Jesus, I want you to be Lord in this area. I'm going to submit to you. I want this fruit in my life. Lord, I pray over this church family that the step that we need to take today, that we would all make it. Lord, some of us need to get saved today. I pray we would take that step. Some of us need to repent and we need to walk away from the decisions we've been making. We need to make your decisions. We need to come home to you. We want, Lord, pray this with me, church. God, I want your produce in my life. So change me, help me. Make me more like you. May I be open to the ways that you speak to me. Lord, may I find myself surrounded by family who love me and want to encourage me and help me and call me up. May I welcome that. You are good, Jesus. Your ways are best. You are God and we are not. We love you. Come and pour out your spirit, your fruit into our lives. May our lives produce a harvest for you. I pray over the people that are in the jars, Lord. May we be invitational. May our lives be so attractional to them that they couldn't resist our invites. And may we continue to be bold. We pray, Lord, would you bring all of our friends and our family, our coworkers that need you. Use us, Lord. Use us, we pray. We want to see this city reborn. We pray all this in the name of Jesus, and all my friends said.
Thanks for joining us today. Please know you're always welcome to worship with us on Sunday mornings. Also, if you would like to give to our ministry, you can go to our website at apeopleintheircity.com. We hope to see you soon, and God bless.